We join together to worship God using the ancient words of the faith from the psalmist. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above. Praise the Lord. Let all people praise the name of the Lord. We join together to sing as the deer pants for the water. We join to say the psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above. Praise God, all God's angels, all God's heavenly armies. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, shining stars. Praise God, heights, heavens, and the waters above the sky. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. God commanded, and they were created. By God's command, they were fixed in their places forever, and they cannot disobey. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, strong winds that obey God's command. Praise God, hills and mountains, fruit trees and forests, all animals, tame and wild, reptiles and birds. Praise God, kings and all peoples, princes and all other rulers, young women and young men, old people and children too. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. God's name is greater than all others. God's glory is above earth and heaven. God has made God's nation strong so that all God's people praise God. The people of Israel, so dear to God, praise the Lord. Please be seated. We join together to pray. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you overturned tables and conventions. You challenged leaders and laws. You tore down and built up. So we come to hear your word to us, to be inspired by your truth. We know that what you say is not always easy to understand and is even more difficult to live in our lives. But we still want to hear it. When we stop and think of you, Holy God, we know that there are many things that we've done which are not right. And we know that we had the chance to do good things and we let them go by. Forgive us. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. He says, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us a time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Here we are, all together, part of a group here to worship God. Now, I want to find out about being part of this group. So, I'm going to be asking you some questions. And I want you to put your hand up when I say, well, this the first one is, what is your favourite food? Kimchi or fish and chips? So, kimchi, is that your favourite food? Okay. Okay, fish and chips. No, I think fish and chips is winning out. Who didn't put the hand up to either of those? Leslie? Oh, fish and chips and kimchi. Anyone like steak? Yeah, well, okay. Okay. What would you prefer to watch on television? The 10 o'clock news or Line of Duty? 10 o'clock news. Well, there's quite a few. Line of Duty. Leslie hasn't voted for it. What's your favourite television program? What? Say yes to the dress. Right. Okay. It's not that program that's been banned. No, right. Okay. Now, for the children, Would you like to watch Frozen or How to Train Your Dragon? Frozen? No. How to Train Your Dragon? Well, it's winning, yes, okay. Now, we have no boys here. Okay, Batman or Superman? Batman? Spider-Man. Okay, right. If you had to choose a new pet, would it be a cat or a dog? A cat. Oh, there's some cat people here. How about a dog? Oh, dog's winning, hands down. Now, here's the thing. If I were to offer you now some cheese or chocolate... Sally's laughing. Hands up for cheese. All right. Hands up for chocolate. Well, I'm surprised. There was quite a lot of cheesy people. Okay. Yeah. Do you prefer to drink tea or coffee? Hands up for tea. Oh. Coffee. Right, all sort of different. Depends on the time of day, yeah. Oh, are you tired? Okay, well, you voted for tea, but what about milk or orange juice? Milk? Orange juice? Okay. And finally... Do you like cricket or football? Well, I thought Linda Austin might be a bit, you know. Cricket. Yeah. Linda's out there. She's put her hand up for cricket. Okay. Football. Okay. Right. And who watched the match yesterday? Yeah. And what was the score? Good, you know, yeah. Okay, so we've seen that we all like different things, but we're here as one to worship God. So when we go out, we'll be talking about how we can be welcoming to people here, no matter if their language is different to ours, or they like cricket. Okay, thank you.
We join together to sing. Thank you.
Hundreds of thousands, thousands, millions, and many.
See you later. Bye. Bye. The first reading is the second half of a story. It's the story of Peter and Cornelius. This reading is the retelling of the first half of the story. It's a story that Luke takes the trouble to tell twice. I would suggest to you that means that it's got something important to say to us. Anne McFarlane will read this passage to us. Oh, yes, she will.
So the reading this morning is taken from Acts 11, verses 1 to 18, and I'm reading from the New English Version. The apostles and the other believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. The circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, and kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen.
It's interesting that during this Easter season of the church's life, we go back to the teaching of Jesus before the crucifixion. So here we have a short passage from the words of Jesus in that long sermon that is in the Gospel according to John before Jesus goes out So Jesus talks about leaving, about being lifted up, and the call of his followers who are currently around the table in disarray as he speaks these words about loving one another. Brenda Parkins will read this passage to us.
This is from John 14, John 13, verse 31 to 35, the new commandment. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory of the Son of Man in himself, and he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going. And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples."
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Ah, yes, we all know about the Jews and their food laws. No pork, no shellfish, no rabbits, no reptiles, no eating camel. Keep it kosher. How interesting. How defining. And we can understand this metaphor with all these creatures that Peter cannot eat and sees them and is now told that they are in. And the metaphor of the animals in this group being in society, that those groups that were excluded are now to be included. Beautiful. We get that. Distant history. Marvelous. But what about us? Which animals would be in our vision? Or more likely, it wouldn't work for us as a metaphor because we're usually not people with strict dietary rules. Which groups in society would be in our sheet? Our rules are not as honest and as openly defined as you would get in Judaism and Islam, but we do have our own personal rules about what is in and what is not. What is included and what is outside. And of course, we can be polite to the outsider, but they are not us, are they? In the reading from the Gospel according to John, Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. He has confronted Judas, and then this teaching arrives. And we are commanded to love one another. Well, the disciples are, and I would suggest to you that they are a figuration of the church, and so we are commanded to love one another. So what does that mean? There was a time in some church communities when they would have developed that theme of closeness about relationships within their part of the church. That there are a group of people, when you join that group of people, when you're with that group, that you can expect them to take you into their home for a few days, cook you a casserole, lend you a few quid if they can afford it, clear the snow from outside your house, maybe mow your lawn. And what sense is that new? Loving those that are your in-group, surely that's the oldest rule of all. And it is true that in Britain today, it is one of the things that attracts people to convert to Islam. That sense of being part of an including, supportive group. Part of a close community that care for each other. It is a beautiful thing to be part of a golf club where people are caring about you. But Jesus and his sort of revolution, how does it fit with his work and his mission? And all that I've just said is true. But we need to remember as well the other side of it, that when we in Kingston United Reformed Church have some of our mad moments, as we do, the witness of how we behave towards one another is totally terrible. And it ripples. And we need to remember that people look at the way we behave and wonder whether we are an attractive gang to be a part of or not. So, all that Jesus says starts with him taking a basin and a towel. And he talks about betrayal, and he talks about death, and he talks about glory, and he talks about love. And he starts with a basin and a towel, as his symbol, a basin and a towel. I wonder whether Christianity would be better served if, rather than the emblem of the cross, we used the emblem of the basin and the towel. A cross, in all its brutality, it has to be said, is a one-off offer, isn't it? You can only be tortured to death once. But basin and a towel, that is every morning I get up and I pick up that towel and I wonder whose feet I'm going to wash today. To do menial tasks with a servant heart, whose feet am I called to wash today? Who am I to love? And of course, I get it, that for sanity's sake, we need to draw a line. But we need to look at that line and we need to wonder about it. So my line. I care for you because you are my husband. I care for you because you are my daughter. I care for you because you are my son-in-law. I care for you because you are my grandchild, because you are my parent, because you are my brother, my friend, member of the church, work colleague. I care for you because you are my neighbor, my pal from the gym, the person that I've spoke to in my work in some sort of vague way, a person who asks for my help. A tight circle going outwards. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, what has that got to do with Jesus? It is a tight circle of transaction. How does it fit with Peter and the sheet? Is that love? Or is it actually some sort of mutual benefit society? I care for you because you will care for me. Nothing to do with a basin and a towel. Is it love? Is it actually love? Or is it actually self-interest? Love is a tough thing. It is the most extravagant and courageous of things. It is not niceness. It is not pleasantness. The thing that makes Kingston United Reformed Church a church is that you find yourself, if you open your eyes and your heart, in the company of all sorts of people who are different from you. The very thing that some of you find difficult is the very thing that I would say about our church that makes it not a mutual friendly society, but a church. It is the range of social circumstances. The fact that many of us are social outsiders because of our age, disabilities, our race, our linguistic abilities, our immigration status, and on and on. And when people say to me, as they do, how's life and how's your church? When people say to me, in like this week I've been away at the summer school, and people say to me, how's your church? I say, mental. Just thought I'd better tell you. Thank you. That's right. Good. Yes. Mental. Because I believe that our church, with its massive deficit budget and its strange ways of behaving and the range of people with their mental health issues and the huge amount of social failure, is like that sheet. And I completely get it. I completely, totally get it that it is not what many of you want. That people's dreams of church is that it should be a bright, shiny, beautiful, youthful above everything else, mentally robust, nobody ill actually. But you know what that means, don't you? You know what that means. That when you collapse, when I collapse, when we collapse, when we get old, when we get sacked from our job, when they want to chuck us out the country, we will care for you. We will care for you. We will care for you. But you will not be us anymore. So the passage in Acts, as I said, it's not the first time that Peter has had this encounter and this view of who's in and who's out challenged. That's already happened in Acts chapter 10. But here, with this food, it is about an intimate relationship. Is there anything more intimate than the food that you take into your body? There is nothing closer than the food you take into your body. God says, take them in, Peter. Not minister to them. Take them in. Imbibe. Take them into the whole. Consume. Make it part of the body. Body. Ah, that's another metaphor. Let us be still, and then we will pray. God of joy, we give thanks for the witness of Peter and Cornelius. That affirms your inclusion and your love that is a challenge to hear. Help us, each of us, to be loving people, and to be people who love like Jesus loved. Basin, towel, loving people. Give us the imagination and the courage, each of us, to love in such a way. In Jesus' name, amen. We join together to sing, How Can I Keep From Singing? That happened to us on Friday, that we were singing Amazing Grace and we had four verses and we all had three. But the great news on Friday was we had a gospel singer who was leading it and he just blasted it out. Today, that's not the option. Let's join to pray. Let's pray. We pray, dear God, for places where there is division and for countries in the grip of civil war. May your Holy Spirit bring peace. For countries where there is religious persecution, may your Holy Spirit bring unity. For towns and cities where gang warfare brings fear, may your Holy Spirit bring hope. For communities where there is inequality, may your Holy Spirit bring dignity. For workplaces where there is insecurity, may your Holy Spirit bring confidence. For homes where there is brokenness, may your Holy Spirit bring healing. For churches, even like this one, where there are challenges, may your Holy Spirit bring life. To each of us, come, Holy Spirit, and be made manifest in us. Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. We continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. For the gifts and the graces that you have given to us, we thank you. Give us another gift, the wisdom to know how to use your abundance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Living God, your joyful spirit, our final hymn we join to sing. What have you got to show us? What have you been doing? What does it say? It's a time bridge. Beautiful. Yep. Hold it up. What is it? It says build bridges. Lots of words for different, for hello in all sorts of different languages. And what does yours say, Esther? Build bridges, not walls. Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Thank you. Show, Dahi, show the picture, please. Thank you. Hold it up. Lovely. Thank you. So may God bless us and guide us to live as God's bold people. And the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us for now, forever. Amen.